and it's all the nations.
Exactly.
There seem to be two different wars. In fact, those are what I would call, those are the two great wars of the end time, Gog and Magog, and then Armageddon.
All right, that's kind of how I see it. Where do you see the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, in connection with those?
Well, I mean, I think what's going to happen is, you know, he's going to come on the scene. He's going to lead this reunited Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, you know, foes he's going to face, or the rivals to power, will be Gog, this great leader from the north who's leading this Russian Islamic Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if those nations come down into Israel in the first half of the tribulation and all their armies are wiped out, all of a sudden you've got a huge power vacuum.
Yeah, and nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the great events that's going to allow the Antichrist to come to world power.
And he, if indeed he had assisted in bringing about a peace agreement, he would be the most likely person that Israel herself but would be willing to embrace at that time.
Well, that's right. And they, you know, but then he's going to double cross them, you know, at the midpoint of the tribulation. He's going to make a 7-year treaty with Israel, but the midpoint, it says in Daniel 9:27, he's going to break that covenant. So,
right. Is there going to be a third temple?
Sure, yeah, there's got to be. You know, 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says he's going to sit in the temple of God and declare that he is God.
Well, it also says in Malachi, the Lord himself shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So it seems like there's going to be a coming of the counterfeit Christ and a coming of Christ himself to the temple. And you talk about a squaring off. This is a put-up-your-dukes time if there ever was one.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, it's going to be Christ versus Antichrist, and people during the tribulation are going to have to make a choice, you know, who they're going to serve.
Mm.
And, you know, Christ is going to come back at Armageddon, and it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, he's going to destroy him with the breath of his mouth.
So. Wow. It's the incredible pictures, friends. I think Mark's book is going to help sort it all out. We still have some things. Mark isn't so proud as to say he knows it all. I think you can understand that from our conversation here, but it's going to be very helpful. Your book of your gift of $14 or more to Save America Ministries will put Who is the Antichrist in your hands, answering the question everyone is asking. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org. And I want to make sure that you realize the importance of this unique moment in time and help us to get this message out, preparing the way of the Lord. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. And let's prepare the way of the Lord in our own lives and the lives of others.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone, who's with us frequently. And we've been talking, and certainly about his series, and it's on the fearful creation, the proof that there really was a major flood. And I'm going to have to ask our producer to get Pastor Billy back on the line, because I had definitely hung up on him. But anyway, there is such an organized effort on the part of the people who control the media. Now, you have to understand the media in America is controlled. And whether it's the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, the Military Channel, or certainly the people who write our textbooks, or the people who control our schools, or the people who control the mass media, there is an intense hatred of the God of the Bible. And certainly you'll see this over and over again. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. And that is why it is illegal today for a military chaplain to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's certainly why the people who control our government installed governments in Iraq and Afghanistan based upon Sharia law, so that the Christians there would be driven out of Iraq. And many of them have been driven into Syria. And now, of course, we're launching an attack on Syria. America's behind this whole effort to overthrow the Syrian government. Basically, of course, it should be very, very obvious. We went to the United Nations just last week to try to get permission for military action against Syria. And, of course, if we overthrow the Syrian government, 10% of the population is Christian, and they'll be slaughtered. You have to understand that this is really what the people in positions of power want. This is going on in Egypt. That's one of the reasons we overthrew the Egyptian government. But we can't let the foolish American people understand that there are powerful forces at the highest levels of our government who hate the God of the Bible. Now, those of you who haven't yet seen the interview with Barack Obama, he's being interviewed before the election. And at one point, and you can see this on my webpage, where I had just in the section under other videos on the web, just scroll down. But Barack Obama is being interviewed, and he just brings up, well, you know, I'm so grateful that John McCain hasn't brought up my Muslim faith. And the reporter who's supposed to be objective says, oh, you mean your Christian faith? And Barack Obama corrects himself, oh, yes, my Christian faith. Barack Obama is a Muslim, and certainly those of you who heard our program last night will remember Chris Avi Lifkin's wife, Sydney, works for Israeli intelligence, and she had actually heard Sydney, the Egyptian foreign minister, talking about how Barack had told him he was a Muslim, he was raised a Muslim, his father was a Muslim, his stepfather was a Muslim, his brother was a Muslim, he'd gone to Muslim schools. He thinks that the sound of the call to worship from the mosque is the sweetest sound in the world, but he can't tell the foolish American people that. He lies about his Christian faith as he lies about so many other things. Pastor Billy, thank you very much for being with us. Pastor Billy, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Okay, go right ahead. And Sydney, we were just talking about the conspiracy against the God of the Bible, and it should be so obvious to people. And one of the things that they attack is this whole idea that basically Noah's flood. Oh, that's just a myth. Couldn't have happened. And yet, of course, there's so much scientific evidence of it. But it is never brought out on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, it should be pretty obvious. We'll be right back with Pastor Billy. You go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, as we chatted before, Dr. Monteith, there is a conspiracy going on. You got to wonder why. Why is it just Christianity? And why is it constantly getting attacked? Why are people scoffing at the Bible? Well, the irony is the very Bible that people...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Discourage people from reading the Bible and certainly making it appear that all the things in the Bible, they have a lot of good moral ideas in there, but of course everybody knows that these things really didn't occur. They're simply stories. They're sort of made up stories passed down through the ages, but go ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, and again, people want to say, well, those aren't real literal people that are mentioned. Those are just mythologies. Really? Well, Jesus, when he referred to them, he referred them to them as real people. Jesus said in the book of Matthew in verse 37, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? From the days of the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And so Jesus is talking about a literal guy who was literally named Noah and a literal flood that literally destroyed the world. These are not myths, folks. These are actual accounts, okay, actual people and actual events, including God's first judgment. And the obvious conclusion is, well, gee whiz, if God judged the world once and he said that he's going to do it again, I think we better pay attention, okay? And again, this is what these guys, they don't want you in there. They want you to scoff at the Bible. They don't want to figure out the game plan, and they don't want you to be forewarned that it's going to come to an end, though. They're going to have a little heyday, okay, but God is the one who's in control, and he's going to squelch it. They don't want you to find it out, so they get you to scoff. And so that's why, Dr. Monti, we provide these studies, and it's not just biblical information, which, of course, obviously I'm not against. I think it'd be great if people could read the Bible, because then you're not playing the role of a hypocrite. You know, say, well, the Bible's the book whooped up by man. It's just full of errors. Really? Have you ever read it? You know, and most people haven't. You know, so if you're going to be this supposed great thinker and intellectual person and honest seeker of the truth, you'd think you'd at least investigate it and read it at least once. And then if you even read it once, does that mean you're an expert on it? You know, let's just be honest. But what we do is we not only provide the biblical evidence, hey, we meet people where they're at. And I understand this, folks, because you're listening to a former skeptic. I hated Christians. I thought Christians were a bunch of dumb idiots that had to have a book tell them what to do, i.e. the Bible. I was much more smarter than that. But again, I was the hypocrite. I wouldn't investigate the facts myself, okay? And so I understand that. And so that's what we do with our studies, Dr. Monteith. We provide scientific evidence. We provide archaeological evidence. We provide geological evidence that these events mentioned in the Bible are actually real. These are real people, real accounts that are recorded for us in the Bible.
And I think that your 11 DVD set on the fearful creation is one of the finest things I've seen. I've seen a lot of things you've done. They're all great, but I really like this one on the fearful creation, because, of course, it goes into the flood and the scientific evidence for the flood. Go right ahead.
Well, and what we also try to do, as you know, Dr. Monteith, as you've seen the information, the videos, is we try to provide as much visual, pictorial evidence of the actual digs, the actual finds, the actual discoveries. We even provide as much as we can the actual video interviews of the scientists, of the archaeologists, the geologists, being interviewed, that this is really happening. And a lot of them, folks, aren't even Christians, so you can't say that they're being biased. Of course they're going to say that they're a Christian. No. These are scientists in the field going, wait a second, we are being lied to. And we even share interviews of former scientists, and the key word there is former, who bring out information, and they lose their jobs. They're fired. One guy, I still can't believe it, we share the actual interview, folks. He was actually told to get off his site at machine gun. And at a point, he couldn't go back because he discovered things that disproved the live evolution. That's not science, okay? And so one of the things that we do is when it comes to this account that Jesus literally referred to, the Noah accounts, a literal guy named Noah, literal ark, literal flood, God's first judgment, and you need to pay attention to that, Jesus said, because it's going to be the same thing when he comes back. People are just going to be scoffing. They're just going to be, whatever. They're going to just marry. It's no big deal. I'm just going to do my own thing, man. I'm just going to get married. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do this stuff. And he said, bang, all of a sudden it's going to happen. It's too late. And that's the society that we're in today. And so we bring out that evidence, and of course we dealt with the evidence. Well, gee whiz, if there really was a worldwide flood, not just some local thing, but a worldwide flood, you'd think that somebody else around the world would be talking about it just beside the Christian, beside the Bible. Well, folks, there are, and that's what we bring out, is there's approximately about 500 different flood legends from around the world, okay, as we go into the different cultures and bring it out. And they agree, by and large, of what's going on in the biblical account. Everybody on the planet, their genealogies, their histories of mankind record this event, which is exactly what you'd expect. Then people would sit there and scoff and say, well, gee whiz, come on, you mean to tell me that water flooded the whole world? That's a whole lot of water. That's not possible. Well, we bring that out. Read the biblical account. It didn't just come from above for 40 days and 40 nights. It also said it came from below. If you ever take the water out of the oceans, if you look at some of those nifty satellite imagery maps of the world, when you take a look at the oceans underneath there, you see the world's all cracked up. But folks, that's where the water's busting through, as the water says, the burst forth from the deep, and it flooded this planet in no time at all, folks. The people were totally caught off guard, and it was truly a great deluge. In fact, that's why we still have on the earth 75% water still on the surface. Where do you think that came from? And then the rest of the water that flooded the world went back down into the earth. And we even brought out the scientific and geological evidence of that, that there are oceans, literal oceans, tons of them, folks, inside the earth's mantle, under the crust, that's still there. Okay, that's where all the water went. And then we got to think, well, gee whiz, okay, fine. So if there looks like there was a flood, but gee whiz, if there really was a worldwide flood that wiped out virtually every single thing on the planet except for a guy and his family and a bunch of animals on a boat, it was a whole civilization, you'd expect to find tons of dead things on the earth. Well, folks, we look at them all the time. It's just evolution has blinded us with their lie that these things take millions and millions of years to form. They're called fossils. All these fossils we see on the planet, all these dead things buried in the dirt, folks, that's from the flood. Okay, that's the remains. I mean, you have to hardly even go anywhere. Go to a museum. You look at that thing that's in there, the bone, it's like, oh, wow, we should have listened to Noah. You know, we better pay attention, man. There's all kinds of proof that this world was wiped out before, okay? And so we expose that about fossils. They don't take millions of years to form. And then you take a look at the condition of the fossils. They're all mixed up. There's animals, folks, plants, the remains that are doing on the opposite ends of the globe that are buried in the dirt with a bunch of other ones and from different ecological niches all mashed in together. How do you explain that according to evolution, okay? It's impossible. A flood just totally rearrange the topography of this planet. And then what I'd like to deal with a little bit tonight is people say, okay, well, fine. So maybe there's this geological evidence there was a worldwide flood, and we find these billions and billions of dead things buried in rock layers all over the earth. That's what we'd expect from a worldwide flood, these plants and animals and stuff. But wait a second. It says there, as it was in the days of Noah, we're dealing with people here. You mean to tell me that there was a whole civilization of people on the planet that got totally wiped out? We find the animals. We find the plants. We find the evidence that the water completely covered the world. What about the people? You'd expect to find something. Well, we do. And I'm telling you, folks, this is the thing that they're covering up. I'll quote it again. One of the researchers that we showed the actual interview on our studies, is he said they are covering up, over the last 150 years of archaeology, they are covering up as much as they are digging up. Okay? If they come across anything, folks, that disagrees with their paradigm, the live evolution, they hide it away from us. And these are the people, folks. I'm not just, isn't just me trying to be biased. Okay, this is the actual facts. This is what's being kept from you. Okay? And the facts of this, folks, we find tons of evidence of people, of advanced civilization. We find their buildings. We find underwater cities still intact. We expose that as well, the actual videos you can see with your own eyes, folks. They're still there. We find all kinds of artifacts. I'll get into that in just a little bit. And human artifacts. And then we find some very strange things that evolution really can't explain. That's like humans' remains, their bones mixed in with dinosaur remains. Well, how do you explain that one, evolution? You know, and so what is all this going on? There's tons of evidence that there really was not just animals and plants that were destroyed by the flood, but people as well, their whole civilization. But what I'd like to point out, folks, is it's not just people, okay, it's a very high-tech civilization. And believe it or not, that's actually what the Bible says these people were in Noah's day. Genesis chapter 4 is the account where we get a lot of that information from. And it talks about Cain. It said, verse 16 there says, so Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And of course, Cain, if you know the biblical account there, he was banished for killing his brother. And so he was banished from the Garden of Eden. So he lay with his wife and she became pregnant. She gave birth to Enoch. Now Cain was then building a city and he named it after his own son, Enoch. Now pay attention there. Okay, this is the first part of man's history, okay, and the guy right out of the gate, he's not in a cave, he's not grunting and groaning, he's not hoping and wishing that he could invent fire and get a wheel going sometime soon. He's right out of the gate building a city, not a shed, not a lean-to, a city, okay? Then if you continue to go down in the text, okay, in the biblical account, all of a sudden it goes through some other lineage, and this comes to this guy named Jubal, and it says he was the father of all who played the harp and the flute. Okay, then he mentions another guy named Tubal-Cain, and he forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. And so the Bible tells us these people in Noah's day, the first part of man's history, the pre-flood civilization that was destroyed, was not made up of some dumb ape-like creatures living in caves, dragging their knuckles on the ground, going, okay, and just waiting for a lightning bolt to strike some dry brush so they can figure out what fire is. Are you kidding me? Folks, there was never a time in mankind's history, based on the archaeological record that we had, caveman baloney, okay? Two things. You need to get another study that we did called A Special Creation because we exposed the lie to ape man and the Piltdown man, the Nebraska man, the Peking man, and et cetera, they're lies, folks. They're hoaxes, okay? They've actually filed down the bones to make them fit together, human and ape bone, and they get caught. People get their PhDs done on these specimens, and then 50 years later or so, they find out that they weren't even true. They did a complete doctorate on a phony. That's the only evidence they have for this. There was never a time that mankind was grunting in caves. They were extremely intelligent and explains why we find high-tech technology buried in the dirt. It's the proof that there really was a civilization that was destroyed by Noah's flood.
And it was a very advanced civilization. This is what most people don't understand. You look at some of those. Some of the things that we see that may very well have been left over from there, they are truly amazing. Well, Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, and amazing is the word, too, Dr. Monteith. And again, I will make this a little sidetrack here before I get into the evidence and that I'd like to share tonight. And it's so amazing, technology, folks.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Well, yeah, and let me share some of that technology that they find buried in the dirt, folks. These people were highly advanced. Where's all the evidence of the people who lived in Noah's day? Where's their civilization? We find the plants and the animals. Well, here it is, folks. I'm going to share some examples that they find all over the world. First of all, believe it or not, folks, they find buried in the dirt, buried in the ocean, ancient computers, okay? In 1901, they found some sponge divers off of an island off the area of Crete. They found an artifact there. And it was pretty well crusted over. And again, we show you the actual pictures, the actual photographs, the actual x-rays, okay? And is some gears were just barely sticking out, kind of caught their eye, apparently. And so they decided to x-ray it, you know, because it looked like just like a lump of coral and stuff like that. And once they x-rayed the thing, it showed it to be totally complex. Again, we show you the actual photographs. And inside that is a sophisticated system of differential gears, okay, that would have made it, and this is a direct quote, listen, the wonder of its age, the supercomputer of its day, which could do multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction. In fact, a French professor, okay, he had made this comment. He says, we are stunned at the ingenuity of the ancients. And then another professor said, it does raise the question, what else were they making at that time? It makes you wonder what they would have achieved if they had carried on. Would they have had a man on the moon by 300 A.D.? He said it sounds ridiculous, but if they were able to construct something as technically brilliant as this, it's not complete fantasy. It blows their mind away. It's like, man, what are these guys doing with the ability to have like a computer-type mechanism? What is that? And then, gee whiz, why is it doing it ocean floor. How'd that get down there? Okay, but that's not all, folks. You think that Edison invented electricity? Don't think so. It's been around for quite some time. We've only rediscovered some of the technology that Noah's flood and those people were using apparently on a regular basis. They've actually found ancient batteries, folks. They're called the Baghdad batteries. You can check it out for yourself. And we show you the pictures and everything. And they were found in the ruins of a village. And they are made of these devices. They're about 5.5-inch clay vessels. Okay. But what's interesting about them is what they discovered was there's a copper cylinder inside, okay, these vessels, okay, about 5.5-inch high, and they're held in place by asphalt. Now, inside of that is an oxidized iron rod. And so once they began to examine it, they said, this is really, really weird, man. This is like a battery. If you filled this thing with acid or alkaline, I bet you could produce electricity. And sure enough, they put it to the test. A guy named F.M. Gray from the GE High Voltage Laboratory, he decides to check it out. And so he made some reproductions of what was found, and he filled them with an electrolyte. And sure enough, they produced electricity. Okay? And it prompted one researcher to state, he said, this requires, listen to this quote, folks, says, this requires the history books throughout the world to be rewritten. Can I translate that for you? Evolution is wrong. Okay? This blows their whole thing. That the further you go back, the dumber man was. That's not true. Based on not just the biblical account, folks, okay, based on the archaeological evidence, it's not true. We're being lied to. This is why they are covering up as much as they dig up for the last 150 years, okay, because they have to hide this from us because it blows away their lie, okay? Now, you talk about some precision machine work, okay? They find this in the Ural Mountains in Russia, yeah, gold miners up there, okay? Obviously, gold prices are skyrocketing. And what they have found as they're digging for gold in the Ural Mountains over there is they found not just a couple, but hundreds of these screw-like, and we show you the pictures, screw-like spiral objects, okay, like springs and stuff like that. But listen to the size of these things, folks. They're 1/10,000th of an inch, okay? Okay, and they're obviously man-made. Okay, and they're found in depths that, according to evolution, should be 20,000 years old or more. Oops. Okay. And again, one person stated, he says, contrary to what some commentators believe, okay, he says, we don't think that these objects are extraterrestrial in origin. Again, they got to come up with some baloney thing to explain it away. He says, they ain't come from UFOs. Listen, this is a direct quote. He says, rather, we think their origin is very terrestrial, i.e. here from Earth, quote, the vestiges of a former high-tech civilization, the evidence of which will become increasing apparent over the coming years. So even they admitted that the facts tell us there really was, at some time, a very high-tech civilization that existed on this planet, but for some reason is no longer here.
And, of course, what happened to it? And, of course, the most logical explanation is the flood. And just after the flood, why mankind really had to start in more or less all over again. But there was tremendous, and there's a great deal of evidence, there was tremendous knowledge before the flood. And that's a subject for another evening, but we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Time ago, and somebody saw that thing and said, hey, that looks like an airplane. And basically, it said, look like an airplane. And when they actually checked it out, and when they actually made a model of this ancient, and we're talking about 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, ancient model that they found in one of the tombs, why it flew perfectly. It was aerodynamically sound. But you're not going to hear about that sort of thing. You're not to question what we are being told. Oh, my goodness, you know, and we've just been evolved and something much lower. No, I think that at one time there was a much higher form of civilization. And instead of evolving, I think we've devolved from that point of view. And if you've ever been to Egypt, as I have, gone down the Nile and seen the magnificent temples at Luxor and certainly at Karnak and walk through the tomb, the great tomb. And you look at these and you say, how did they ever build that? And when did they build it? Well, suddenly, maybe 2,500 years before Christ was born, something like that. But wait a minute now. Of course, the flood was about 2,400 years before Christ was born. That's a date that's ordinarily given. And then, of course, the initial world lasted probably close to 1,600 years. And from about 6,000 years ago. And then, of course, we have this about 1,600 year period. And then we have the flood. And then man comes back from there. And basically, you look at if you've ever been to Karnak or Luxor, you see pictures of them. How in the world did they ever produce those amazing pillars and amazing temples? These would have difficulty reproducing that today. What sort of intelligence did they have? But you pick up the story, but before we do that, Pastor Billy, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get to your website. We do carry a lot of your information, but I want them to know how to get to your website, our listeners. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can check us out at our main website at getalifemedia.com. That's GetalifeMedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Or if you're in the Las Vegas area, you can stop by and join our studies at sunriselv.com, sunriselv, as in Las Vegas, .com.
All right. Well, you go right ahead with the story.
Well, and again, they not only find these kind of aircrafts, and you're absolutely right. We share the actual video, the researchers who made a replication of this model airplane that they found in Egypt, and it flew perfectly fine. You'll see the actual test video, folks, on the study. Get it yourself and look at it yourself. This is not make-believe. Okay, and this is the kind of information that they're keeping from you. Okay, and but not only that, they don't only find them in Egypt, they find them over in Central America. And the one that, one of them that they found, if you didn't, if nobody told you where it came from or how old it was, okay, you would think that it's a child's model of the space shuttle or like a Delta Wing aircraft fighter. And it looks just like that. It's distinctly mechanical. It's got the delta-shaped wings on. It's got stabilizer fins. It's got a rudder. Even looks like it's got like a pilot seat in the exact right place where you'd expect it to be, okay? And again, not only what's interesting about that area in Central America where they found these models of these aircraft, it actually gives you, kind of explains another dilemma that they have over there, and that's called the Nazca lines over there in Peru. And if you're familiar with that, those are those giant works of art that you can only see from the air. Huge arts. If you're walking on ground, in fact, that's why they were undiscovered, quote unquote, for so many years, is because nobody was flying over that area. Okay, nobody was flying, period, for a while, apparently lost the technology. And walking on the ground, you can't see it. Okay, and so it's only until a guy was flying over the area, they say, what in the world is all these figures doing on the ground? Huge, massive ones. I mean, there's like these 18 different kind of birds. There's this curl-tailed monkey one that's about as big as a football field, a killer whale. There's a 150-foot spider. There's lizard, human forms, just kind of strange, weird designs and stuff like that. And again, that's their dilemma from evolution. It's like, well, first of all, who made these? Second of all, how could they make these, okay, when you can't appreciate them from the ground, okay? And they're very symmetrical. And so, well, gee whiz, when you find other remains in that area with people having the ability for very possibly manned flight, it all starts to make sense, folks. Well, gee whiz, they could probably appreciate from there because they might very well have been in the air. Okay, we are being lied to. Evolution says the further you go back in mankind's history, the dumber we were, and we were just eking out a living in a cave. That's not true, not just on the biblical account. I can't stress this enough. It's not true based on the hard evidence we find in archaeology buried in the dirt, okay, and the remains that we find. But not only that, they also find ancient maps, and this one's absolutely wild, okay? And we share the actual map. It's a 3D aerial relief map that they found on the back of a giant slab of rock, okay? And it's indisputable proof, folks, of an ancient high-tech civilization. And first of all, this map, it's very akin to what's called a relief map that's used in today's military. And on this map, it contains civil engineering works, a system of channels that's about 7,500 miles worth. It's got many different dams that it has on this map, some of which are, listen to this, over 6 miles long and almost 2 miles deep. Huge, massive mega works that we can't even think about replicating today. Had this weird, strange language on it. At first, they thought it was Chinese, but it turned out to be some sort of hieroglyphic syllabic language that they don't know what it is. And the more that they began to study it, one professor stated this. I love this quote. He says, "The more I learn, the more I understand that I know nothing." And the longer he said that, because the longer it was studied, the more mysteries appeared on it. I mean, there's giant irrigation systems on this thing. That according to the estimates, they would have had to move, listen, 1 quadrillion cubic meters of earth, okay? And here's what one researcher stated. He says, based on this map that they discovered, he said, it makes anything modern man has accomplished look like a mere scratch. He says, we can only build a small portion of what's on that map. Okay, and here's the whopper. Hey, folks, according to evolution, this map on this rock, according to their time scale and where they find these things and the layers of dirt, it should be 120 million years old. What is that doing in there? They can't explain it. That's why it's tucked away, put in a box, get it out of here, put it in a basement in the Smithsonian. You'll never find out. Because just even one of these finds, and I'm still ripping them off, folks, and this is hardly any of it of what we present. It blows away their theory. How do you explain it? Okay, and then you talked about the ancient temples, Dr. Monteith. That's another thing that the evolution cannot explain. Some columns they find, folks.
If nothing is done, this recession could linger for years.
Unless you've been living in a cave for the last couple of years, you've probably noticed that something isn't quite right with the world.
Okay, one of them is
it's not just the economic crisis in the United States and Europe. It's something much bigger.
Way
over. We've entered something that I call the age of turmoil.
Okay, and let me give you.
It's been going on for quite a while, and it's starting to accelerate.
In the Great Pyramid, about
this is something that is basically a complete system reset in the way that things are done in the world. And the bad news.
That's 400,000. This thing is 2 million pounds. Huge. And I love this quote, Dr. Monteith. One guy stated, he says, forget the ancient airplanes, forget the world maps. This discovery alone should set straight the standard line that evolution tells us of primitive man to advanced man, then civilization. He said it should set that scientific dogma on its ear. In other words, it blows it out of the water. It cannot be true that we were a caveman, and it's only recently that we've got advanced and we have our modern civilization. He says that's not what we find. He says there is no way that this stone can be explained by the science and history that they teach us in school. And I love this quote. He says there's no historical records about this monolith thing. He says, although, listen, direct quote. He said the locals who live there think it's part of the remains of a pre-flood city that was originally built by Cain after his banishment. And that's that opening text from Genesis chapter 4 that I started with. That's what the locals who live there think it came from. Evolution, by the way, has no explanation. But we not only find high-tech things buried in the dirt, showing us that it not only there was a pre-flood society, but it was a highly advanced one, high-tech one, just like the Bible presupposes. But we find all kinds of human artifacts, folks, buried in the dirt that evolution has no clue how to explain it. And again, it just gets carted away and we never get to see it. First of all, we find they have found lots of metal cubes, and I wish I could visualize it for you. Again, we show you the actual photographs and drawings and the actual discoveries on the videos. But they find these metal cubes, okay, and they've dug them up, and in 1885, there's a block of coal that was broken up, and a metal cube popped out, okay, and it was obviously worked by intelligent hands. You could see that if you could visualize the picture, but you can't, but please get the videos. The problem was, according to evolution, this area where they found these metal cubes buried embedded in this coal was supposed to be 65 million years old. Oops. What are metal cubes made by human hands, intelligent hands, doing in supposed 65 million year old layers? Okay. One person stated on that finding, says, obviously, intelligent humans date back much further than we realize. These examples should prompt any curious and open-minded scientist to re-examine and rethink the true history of life on Earth. Okay? That's a direct quote. Okay? And then in 1912, we share the actual photograph on this one, too. This is still around today, folks. You can check it out. Two employees from the municipal electrical plant in Oklahoma, they came across a solid chunk of coal that was too large for the furnace. So what do? You break it open. And back then, in 1912, we broke it open with a sledgehammer. Now, when they did, out popped an iron pot. I wish I could show you the picture, folks, because it's obviously man-made. This isn't like, well, that could be a rock that's sort of shaped with an impression. No, it's got a lip on it, the whole nine yards. It's an iron pot. It's human-made iron pot. It was the coal where they found this was mined near Wilburton, Oklahoma. And according to evolution, listen, it's supposed to be about 300 to 325 million years old. I don't think so. You're dealing with exactly what you'd expect to find. If there really was a pre-flood high-tech civilization that was completely wiped out, save Noah and his family on the boat, you would expect to find not only plant remains, not only animal remains, but you'd at least find something of that civilization. Hey, we don't just find something. We find a lot, okay? Metal cubes, iron pots. Not only that, we even find a pagan bell. And you can actually see the actual picture of this, and it looks like a bronze-type deal, and it's obviously human-made. It's a bell, and it's got this little thing rises up on it where you can, like, grab it like a handle. It's got a little clapper thing that you can make it ring. And it was found in 1944 by a 10-year-old boy, and once again, is a little guy named Newton Anderson was his name, and he dropped a lump of coal in his basement, and all of a sudden, out pops this bell. Now, first of all, what are all these artifacts doing embedded in coal? Again, evolution has no explanation. But you'd expect to find stuff buried in dirt, coal, whatever, rock layers all around the earth if, in fact, there was a worldwide flood. And that's what they find. So he drops it in his basement, out pops his bell. Again, this was in West Virginia. And again, this is supposed to be 300 million years old, according to evolution. Got a big problem. And it's a brass bell. It's got this iron clapper on it. And it was extensively analyzed, okay, by the University of Oklahoma. And not only was like, what in the world is that doing in a lump of coal? It's obviously human-made. And what's now evolution's got another problem. It's supposed to be 300 million years old. That's a major problem. That blows your theory out of the water. But what they, when they began to examine it, it wasn't just human, obviously, intelligently made. But it contained an unusual mixture of metals, okay, different from any known modern alloy production. Okay, today, you know, some of them that were combined to make this thing was copper, zinc, tin, arsenic, iodine, selenium. Okay, and one researcher, based on what he saw, he says, hey, you know what? Obviously, this is an antediluvian artifact. In other words, it's an artifact that came from the Genesis flood. This is part of that civilization that got wiped out. Okay, they not only find that, they find bases of people who used to live back in those days. Before they got wiped out. This was back in 1851. This was actually reported in Scientific American magazine, okay? And it showed how two parts of a metal vase was dynamited out of solid rock, you know, 15 feet below the surface, okay? So you can't say somebody stuck it there. Okay, and again, it was in solid rock, so how'd you get that there? Okay, and it was in Massachusetts, and when they did that, they put the two parts together, and again, we show you the actual photograph. They formed a bell-shaped vase. That's about 4.5 inches high, 6.5 inches at the base, and it's about 2.5 inches at the top, and it's about 1/8 of an inch thick. Okay, the metal is composed of this alloy of zinc, and it's got a large portion of silver actually in it. And but the neat thing is not like what in the world is that doing there, but the sides on the sides of it, you could see it in the picture. There were 6 flower bouquets inlaid with pure silver, and around the lower part was a vine wreath kind of pattern that was inlaid with the silver. And one person looking at it said, obviously, the chasing, the carving, and the inlaying are exquisitely done by some unknown craftsman. Okay, and again, the big problem, according to evolution, the rock that this was taken from, folks, oh, it's supposed to be 100,000 years old. Excuse me? I don't think so. In fact, they not only find vases, they not only find all these other different items, in the dirt, the metal cubes, and only find pagan bells, and only find iron pots. Believe it or not, they actually find the jewelry that these people apparently used to be wearing. Gold jewelry was apparently popular back then. In 1891, this is on June 9th, a lady, Mrs. Culp from Morrisonville, Illinois, she was shoveling coal in her kitchen, and a large lump broke in two, and out popped a gold chain from the center of the coal. The chain was about, and again, we show you this stuff, the chain was about 10 inches long. It was made of a lower grade, an 8-karat gold, and it was described as being antique workmanship, okay? And the investigators, the people who were checking it out, were convinced that this chain was not accidentally dropped in the coal. It's like, oops, looky here, what was mixed in with the coal? No, 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 no. Because one portion of the coal was still clinging to the chain. It was embedded to it, okay? And the part that it had separated from still showed the impression of where the chain had been encased, completely encased in coal, okay? Now, again, what in the world is a gold chain doing inside a lump of coal? Number two, the piece of coal, according to evolution, is supposed to be 300 million years old. It's crazy, folks. None of this adds up. None of it makes sense. No wonder they're keeping this from us, okay, and they don't want this out because it totally blows away their theory, okay, completely. But again, it isn't just that it blows away their theory, but what does it do? It gives absolute veracity and authenticity to the biblical account, down to the minute detail. And dare I say, that's the only rational explanation for this, folks, is that it was a flood. This is why we find things buried in coal. This is why we find human artifacts encased in rock, in coal, and buried in dirt layers all over the earth, because these are not just the plant remains, not just the animal remains, but the people remains. We find evidence that the Bible is right. And so when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, you better believe he was talking about a real event and a real guy, and you really better get ready.
Amen to that. Well, I guess this evening, Pastor Billy Croner, you'll certainly want to get his series on the fearful creation. If fascinating information you're not going to get elsewhere, we'll tell you a little later how to get it. But, of course, we'll hopefully have Billy Crone back here in the very near future. All sorts of fascinating information you won't hear elsewhere. Pastor Billy, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. You go right ahead.
Well, you know, we talked about iron pots, we talked about metal cubes and all that stuff. Believe it or not, we show you.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Or any of the controlled media outlets. Bye-bye, Pastor Billy, and we'll look forward to real soon to having you back again.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith.
Thank you. Okay, fine. Well, that was Pastor Billy Crone, and basically we carry his 11-DVD set, The Fearful Creation, and basically they're sermons, but they're a tremendous amount of film footage verifying what he's saying, and so they're very, very informative. The scientific information is there, and you will see the things he's talking about. We have a 10 or 11 DVD set on the fearful creation. Now, the one on Noah's flood is the judged creation. That's a judgment came upon mankind. Fearful creation certainly is a 10 or 11 DVD set. We have the final countdown, one of my favorite, because you see the prophecies coming to pass today. So they're all available, and other things by calling our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. A wonderful means of getting an education and training your children. And certainly I know people who've gotten these sets and given them to young people because they're being lied to in our schools today. The purpose of education is not to educate, it's to destroy their faith in God. That is the purpose of education today. That's why so many of our kids, when they come out, suddenly can't compete with children from other countries because they've been deliberately dumbed down in our public schools. That's why you need to get either homeschooling or a private preferably a good Christian school for your child to go to. Then, of course, we need to remind you, we're having an all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 23rd of October. That's the 23rd of October. It's going to be here in the Central Coast of California at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And if you don't have your reservations, why, we hope you'll seriously consider. You have to have reservations. We're serving less. We'll start in the morning. Doors will open at 7:30. We'll go through until 5:30 or 6. It'll be an exciting time. We're going to have lots of time for questions, panel questions and answers. And so if you'd like to come, and bring a friend if you can. And we have to know this week because, of course, we have to. They're going to cut us off probably next Monday. Well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, because, of course, they need to know how many people are going to be there so they can plan their lunch accordingly. So we look forward to hearing from you and hope you can make it. Then, of course, we hope that you'll get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and understand the forces that hate God. So you'll certainly want to get Pastor Billy Crone's excellent productions, and the 10 or 11 DVDs in each one, of the Judge Creation, the Final Creation, the Fearful Creation, and certainly the Final Countdown, and then, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We might also suggest my interview with Professor Sutton about how we financed the communists. You have to have an enemy. The communists were a convenient enemy. The Nazis are going to have a war. You have to have a well-armed war. And of course, it was American corporations that built the weapons and American banks that funded the Nazis so we could have a good war. And, there's no such thing as a good war, ladies and gentlemen. And right now, of course, we're funding the Muslim Brotherhood surreptitiously in preparation for the coming war in the Middle East. And certainly then, of course, we ask you to simply pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We ask our listeners to pray for Congressman Ron Paul. He's on the front lines of this battle, and, of course, his life is in danger. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the information he's getting out is what the other side doesn't want to get out. They're doing everything they can to discredit him whenever he wins a new poll. They always tell you who was second and who was third, and they also mention, well, yeah, he was first, and, of course, it's all part of this effort to prevent us from ever having anybody who represents our views. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, for the next hour, is there going to be views of our good friend Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli citizen. He certainly has been over in Israel, was there for 30 years, reporting on the corruption at every level of government. And, of course, because of threats on his life, he was forced to leave Israel and come to the United States. And, of course, their losses are gain because he's able to give us tremendous insight into so many of the things that are going on over there, which just don't make sense. In fact, there were reports today that Israel was going to release either hundreds or maybe even as many as 1,000 Palestinians to get back one Israeli soldier. Now, I don't know if this is really true, if this is going through, but we've seen time and time and time again when the Israeli government has released hundreds of terrorists, murderers, violent terrorists, Palestinian terrorists in return for the body of a dead soldier or maybe one soldier. Why would you do that? Well, we want to get our soldiers back. No, if you don't have release all those terrorists, how are you going to have an enemy to fight? And basically, I really hate to say this, but I believe there are people within the Israeli government who want the Palestinian terrorists, because that, of course, tends to rally the people behind the Israeli government, just as we fund terrorist organizations throughout the world. And it rallies people behind our leaders who are protecting us from the wicked terrorists who want to take away our freedom. And so we give up our freedom to government so that we'll be protected from the wicked terrorists. Well, anyway, let's get Barry Samuels' view on so many of the things going on over there. And I don't know if you want to comment on this latest report that they're going to release hundreds, or somebody said as many as 1,000 terrorists to get back one soldier. What in heaven's name is going on?
Yeah, I don't believe it. I think he's dead.
All right. Well, we're going to be very interesting to see what happens. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did a radio show tonight with Elad Pressman, who really, there aren't many people left who did what I did, and he's certainly one of them. Well, he's maybe the only one as far as I know. And he talked about this deal, and I said to him, we're now going to find out if he's dead or alive. If nothing else, I've been predicting that he hasn't, you know, after 4 years in captivity and not a word from him in 3.5, I really doubted he was still alive. But as for giving up 1,000 terrorists, well, there's going to be a lot more Gilad Shalit dead for that action.
Well, of course, but I mean, that's what it's all about. They've done this time and time again, given up hundreds of terrorists to get back one soldier, even a dead body. I hope our listeners are smart enough to realize we're being lied to and the Israeli people are being betrayed by their leaders. But go right ahead.
All right. Now, I'm going to get into, first of all, a little background. I lost my email site. I've gone through tremendous, tremendous anxiety for the last 10 days trying to get my email up. And I really got very ill last week, and I'm still not better. Why did I lose my site? Why did AT&T cut it off? Why wouldn't they deliver messages from my Israeli site and so forth? That's more than I just want life to be normal and to return to routine.
Basically, Barry, when you do what you and I do, well, life is never routine. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Samuels. Go right ahead, Barry.
Oh, that was quick. All right. Now, I'm going to write a story tomorrow. We just passed the Jewish high holidays. Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And during that time, which I celebrated with my wife at the local synagogue, and it was very nice, I must say that, but it hit me. This is the 20th year of Oslo. This year coming up. And I can't let that pass unnoticed.
Well, then before you go any further, I want you to tell our listeners what Oslo was and why that is such an important time.
It brought the PLO back to Israel and changed the entire country.
Right.
Listen, I could spend the whole show on that alone, but I'm not going to. I'm going to glance over that and look at it something that coincidentally, I think it's coincidental. what happened is a small group of writers. Me, I had just signed a contract with Canada Gate Publishers in England, Scotland, to write a book. It was called The Fall of Israel. Joel Bainerman, who lived not 200 yards from me, had just signed a contract with SBI Books to write it became The Crimes of the President, about the Bush family. And previous to this, Marvin Antleman wrote a book called To Eliminate the Opiate. He comes into the question later. The key and the core is, well, my book was just about corruption. It could have happened any time, any place in Israel. But Joel's book was different. It was about the incredible blackmail of Israel by George Bush, by, at the time, Vice President George Bush. He would soon become president. And he would push Oslo to its well, let's put it this way. George Bush forced Oslo down Israel's throat. Now, the important, well, what I'm going to write about, and this is very rough right now, I haven't written about it yet, but what Joel discovered, and he was a great, great researcher, as well as friend, what Joel discovered was that...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply pointing out that this is the 20th year since the Oslo Accord. Now, most people don't remember the Oslo Accord, but 20 years ago, George Bush, I assume that's George Herbert Walker Bush, forced the Israelis to accept the Oslo Agreement, which, of course, was to actually bring the Palestinians back to Israel and certainly establish this Palestinian government, not a separate government, certainly, but a government that has been constantly a thorn in the side of Israelis. In other words, so the Israelis have this constant enemy within their own territory. But a separate people, of course, who are doing everything they can to generate hatred towards the Israeli people. Instead of trying to solve the Palestinian problem, why it was to foster hatred on the part of the Palestinians for the Jews, and this has been a sore that has been festering for 20 years, going back to Oslo, and this is the 20th year, a celebration of the Oslo Accord. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, it all begins with Jonathan Pollard. He's sitting in prison for spying for Israel against the United States. The key is that one little piece of information that got out anyways was that the United States had a one-time arms for hostages deal. Pollard sent then Prime Minister Shimon Peres. This is now at the end of 1984. One of the documents shows that a ship left Athens, headed for Beirut, with a pile of arms to trade for hostages taken in Beirut. If you recall, there were a bunch of them, I think it was three, that were taken in the I think it was 1983 that American forces landed in Lebanon to maintain a peace. Well, they tried to get them out by bartering, trading hostages for arms. Now, Peres took this piece of information and, well, a normal human Israeli prime minister would be furious at the United States for supplying the PLO with advanced weaponry to trade an American citizen. As you said at the beginning of the show, Israel is trading 1,000 prisoners for one. It's not unusual. It's really the way diplomacy works. But Peres, instead of protesting, he said, to himself, I assume. What a great idea. Let's expand this. Let's trade arms for tons of money. Well, it became Iran-Contra. Okay? Again, I'm skipping a lot of details, but it became Iran-Contra, which 1985 was the big year of this arms for hostage scenario? Operation. And Joel wrote this book, Crimes of the President, about the Bush family. And certainly the aspect of it that intrigued me most was under the table, what was going on between Prime Minister Peres and Vice President Bush. I want you to know that even though he was Vice President, Reagan had almost been killed, and Bush had effectively taken over foreign policy. What happened is that from this little Pollard information, Peres sent three of his officers to the United States with one, blackmail. This is illegal what you're doing. Two, it was a great idea. Let's expand it. Now, I can go into who Nimrodi is. I can go into the first three Peres delegates. They were Yaakov Nimrodi. He was former military attaché to Tehran. Al Schwimmer, he was the founder of Israel Aircraft Industries, and David Kimchi, director of the foreign ministry. Whatever. These three were exposed a little too much, and they quit. But the operation had begun, and it was being, looked at. Now, Bush should have ended the whole thing then and there, but he didn't. He and Peres expanded the operation to Iran, and they were dealing with the Khomeinis of Iran. There were 52 American prisoners of war, and Israel was going to supply Iran with tons of arms, and Iran was going to release the prisoners. That is Iran-Contra, except the money for the arms ended up in Nicaragua funding and arming the opposition terrorist group called the Contras. And this was a major, major scandal. Joel, in his book, tracked the whole operation all the way down to meeting. Now, look, I have to go backwards. When these three, the original three intermediaries, said, it's getting too hot, I'm out, Peres said, no way, and he hired someone named Amiram Neer to be his anti-terrorism advisor, and he sent Neer to Tehran. He worked hand-in-hand with Oliver North. This was the true blue Iran-Contra, was Amiram Neer, George Bush, Oliver North, and Shimon Peres. That was the core of Iran-Contra. Is this too complicated? Are you following this?
Yes, I'm following it fine. Go right ahead.
All right, I'm just making sure. Now, Joel, in his book, Crimes of the President, even Amiram Neer suddenly died in 1987, I believe, in a mysterious plane crash in Mexico, where of the six passengers, only he died. Joel, in his book, actually tracked a passenger. She lived in Ontario. He interviewed her. he found out that this was no accident. All right? This was not a crash, an accidental crash. It was murder. Now, what makes this, well, it could have been the end of the Bush family for good, because Amiram Neer and George Bush worked hand in hand together. Now, in Joel's book, he has the meeting between George Bush and Amiram Neer. It was 29th of July, 1986. Neer met the vice president while he was visiting Jerusalem, and he told him outright that the Iranians were not moderates. They are dealing with the most radical elements. That's a quote. This is what Neer told Bush. In other words, Bush knew that he was giving arms to the most radical elements in Iran. The idea, of course, was to free hostages, but you don't do that. That's a crime. Now, what happened with that little, well, what can we say? George Bush was called before Congress, and something you may not even remember called the Tower Commission on Iran-Contra.
Yes, I remember Senator Tower quite well. I also remember he died in a plane crash. But go ahead.
Where, a big plane crash or a private plane crash?
I forgot. I think it was a private plane crash.
Yeah, that's another murder. I'm not... You know, that's a heck of a tip. I'm not going to follow it up right now. The point is that that George Bush... well, what he testified to was he does not remember the meeting. Wait, his quote. Here's his quote. Bush added that he did, all right, quote, not fully understand what Neer was saying at the time. Now, he's not an idiot. He understood exactly what Neer was saying. You, America, are trading arms, and you're giving them to the most radical Shiite extremists in Iran. And in exchange, you'll get money. If you're lucky, you'll get hostages. But the money was the trick, because that went to the Contras in Nicaragua against congressional resolutions that you do not supply the opposition with money. Bush, Vice President Bush, did supply them with money.
Well, we'll be back here in just a moment. Certainly, our guest is Barry Sammis. This is something out of the past. Most people have forgotten Iran-Contra, but simply another example of how the United States has actively supported our enemies. The radicals over there in Iran were getting both weapons and money. And, of course, if they didn't have weapons and money, how would they continue being our enemies and certainly carrying out their atrocities? We'll maintain their control over the hapless Iranian people. Go right ahead, Barry.
All right. Now, what we're talking about...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
To force Israel to negotiate with in Oslo and negotiate with the Palestinians, with the PLO, and of course accept them as sort of partners in this situation, an unfortunate situation that has left a festering sore between the Israelis and of course the leaders of the PLO. Over a 20-year period, and basically it was all because of the Oslo Accord. Go right ahead, Barry.
All right. Now, we decided to start a newsletter, Pooling Our Talents. My book came out in June of 92, and Joel's book came out in April of 92. Actually, when I came back from England, I did a promotional tour. He was very impressed. I had the lead article in The Economist that week, and I think it was his idea. He said, let's pool our talents and do a newsletter. And that newsletter was Inside Israel. We were in on Oslo from day one. Literally, from day one. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we held sessions, putting out this little newsletter of ours. We had to sit night after night. We went through every source we could get. I'm going to tell you what doesn't exist anymore, and you'll understand where we got our information from. The names Monitim, Davar, Brema, Chadashot, Shishi, Davar, all of these were newspapers with followings in Israel in 1992, and they were digging where the mainstream newspapers, which are Yediot, Mariv, and Haaretz, they wouldn't go near. And we would go through these newspapers, and boy, oh boy, it was shocking what was being reported. They weren't underground newspapers. They just weren't mainstream. Now, they're dead today. They don't exist. They've all been shut down. Israeli news is totally controlled today. But I'm just going to gloss over some of the stories we got from these newspapers and some of the people that we met. Now, Well, let's do CC. CC, again, in 1993, I believe, they broke the story that Shimon Peres had cut a deal with the Vatican over the Oslo Accord. This was just after the Oslo Accord. The news was that there are clauses. What Peres' Oslo deal was, well, the Vatican gets control, hegemony, that's the word they use, over Jerusalem's holy sites. They are no longer Israeli, they're going to be Vatican. Now, it's a big, long deal, but this expose came out in the newspaper, Shishi. We ran crazy with it. Ha'olam Hazeh, really, a left wing, but it doesn't matter. Truth comes from all sources. They expose the kidnapping, well, the Yemenite children. Now, it's, again, I'm going to glance over this, and I've written a great, great length. The Israeli government stole babies from new immigrants from largely Yemen, not completely. They sold them to the United States for atomic experiments. Ha'olam Hazeh revealed that. That gave us our sources. That, boy, did that lead to sources. That led me all the way to the leadership. I hear the music.
Well, let me point out to our listeners, basically, you can go up on the Internet and you can look up the, just type into your search engine, Barry Shamish, the Yemeni children, you'll get the story. And then just type in the ringworm children, you'll get the story. But the Yemeni children, about 4,000 of them, were kidnapped by the Israeli government and literally sold to the United States to be used in the radiation experiments. Oh, you say that couldn't be true. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you haven't seen the Plutonium Files, the book here where they took orphans, they took mentally defective children. They used them all for experiments, and they killed so many of them. Most of the 4,000 Yemeni children ended up dying. But you've never heard of it. Go right ahead, Barry. Hold that just a moment.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance.
Okay, Barry, go right ahead.
All right. Now, again, we're back with Joel Beinerin and I, producing Inside Israel. I'm talking about our sources. You know, we got tremendous sources, but we got them initially publicly by reading newspapers. Israel used to have such a lively press. It doesn't anymore. All those days are gone. They shut down all of these newspapers.
But, Barry, they've done this all over the world. You go to Great Britain today, and you try to get, you know, there's no really open radio over there. They control most of the major newspapers. They do that right here in this country. They've done this all throughout the world. Thank goodness for the Internet. Thank goodness in America for the alternative radio. But it's such a tragedy. But step by step, they have taken over control of the media so they can largely control what people throughout the world think and believe. But go ahead.
Well, the Yemenite children, without Ha'olam Hazeh, we wouldn't have lifted the phone to get our first source, which led to dozens of other sources. That's how we started. We started with the journalists who knew Israel from the inside. And we expanded. Now, well, with the Yemenite children, all I can say is, that story went worldwide. No one had ever done it in English before. Joel and I, and then me by myself, did the story. But there's the newspaper Chadashot. Now, Chadashot had an amazing story that, well, summarize. In order to get Oslo passed, Yitzhak Shamir was never going to, he was the prime minister in 92. He would never have betrayed his people. They needed someone who would betray their people. Now, they wanted Peres, but Peres lost the leadership of the Labor Party, but Yitzhak Rabin took over. In the end, he didn't play ball, and they had to kill him. But more to the point, they had to get Labor into power. And in Chadashot, what a deal. This was arranged between who would be the deputy foreign minister, Yossi Beilin, and Yasser Arafat. What it was
Hold that thought here. Well, Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply giving us the background of what led up to Oslo, and because they needed a senior prime minister in Israel who would betray the American people. Peres would have certainly have done it, but he lost power.
Well, I'd say the Israeli people, I don't think they betrayed any Americans.
No, betrayed the American people, betrayed the Israeli people, and Rabin, of course, he wouldn't play ball, so they had to kill him, and he was assassinated. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the sort of thing that they do. They kill world leaders, and they kill their relatives, and they kill all sorts of people. If you don't believe it, Sydney, you want to see what's happened to some of our leaders here, our presidential candidate, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Jack Kennedy. We could give you the names of so many people who've been assassinated right here in America. But it happened over in Israel. Certainly they did everything because they wanted to control what was going on, and they wanted to force the Israeli people to accept the Oslo agreements. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well,
before we do, I think maybe what we ought to do is give you an opportunity to get out your website. Hopefully it'll be back up working before long.
Oh, my website is fine.
Well,
that's driving me crazy.
How people can get your books, how people can get your DVDs, and how people can get to your PayPal button.
Fine, let's get it over with. We're talking about the earliest books right now, and that does include Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin, and Save Israel and The Last Days of Israel. They're all available at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. When you get there, there's a search box right in my name. Chamish. That's Chamish. It'll take you to my books. My website is barrychamish.com. And I have DVDs. They're not at Lulu. You can take this number down and give me a call if you want them. 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. All right, back we go. Again, how we found out what we found out, the ties we made, the newspaper Chadashot had an amazing article that the Labor Party cut a deal with the PLO, that in the upcoming elections of 92, the PLO would arrange that all the Arabs voted for Labor or for more leftist or party called Marriage. Up till then, there were 17 Arab seats in the Knesset. Word went out, and by the way, the sheikhs and the family heads, they have a ton of influence. A whole town will vote the way the sheikh tells them to vote. What happened is, in short, why would the PLO tell anyone to vote for Labor? Because Labor promised them a state if they got into power. In other words, Labor promised them Oslo if they got into power. Very simply put, Labor and Arafat, Beilin and Arafat, cut a deal that Arafat would make sure 17 seats, Arab seats in the Knesset, the number dropped to 4. All the rest went to Labor or its more left-wing partner, Meretz. A deal was cut, and the deal involved Yasser Arafat. Now, that's beyond treachery. That's beyond betrayal. That's way up there with treason. In fact, if that thing was ever it won't be, but if it was ever properly reviewed, you're talking about treason from the Israeli Knesset, from the Labor Party. Now, the author of this article in Chadashot was Yoshua Meiri. Joel and I, well, we met him, oh boy, lots of times. I spoke to him. Let's put it this way. He became a major source. He was the Chadashot reporter in Cairo, and he knew stuff from the inside. He told us exactly what, well, in short, that Bailin and the PLO cut a deal to rig the elections of 92 and get Labor in power, in return for which they will get Oslo. Now, when we discovered this, it got noticed. First of all, I want to add something. We weren't doing this totally in the dark. One example, Joel and I, in March of 97, had an article in the National Review outlining the whole betrayal, the whole thing. It's not as if we had a hobby and this was not getting noticed. It was getting noticed, which brings me to another source, a very important source. You know, after 20 years, I'll give his first name. I swore I'd never say who he was, but I'll say his first name. His name was Mike. He worked at a major ministry. All right, foreign affairs. What the heck? If he's being exposed, let the pieces fall where they will, I suppose. He ran the communications department. He got all the cables from the embassies around the world. Well, he was so worried by what he had intercepted, what he was reading about the secret clauses of Oslo. You think you know what Oslo is? Under the table, it was so, so much worse. It meant killing Jews to get them out of Judea and Samaria, killing their leaders. It was just simply god-awful. God-awful. And this came from the Israeli government. Okay, we'll get rid of the Jews and give the PLO land, but we're going to have to kill a bunch of them. The person who gave me this information, and Joel and I together were at the same meeting. He handed us the computer files. In those days, the computer files had corrugations on either side. I read through them, and I said, this can't be. It can't be. Israel would not murder Jews. Well, it turns out that Israel could murder Jews. Now, he was the source for a front-page headline in the Jerusalem Post, and the author was Steve Rodan. Mike said to me, this Friday, look at the headline story. What I'm giving you is what the Post wouldn't print of the secret clauses. Here is Steve Rodan's number. Phone him, verify who I am, and run with it. I phoned Steve Rodan, and he did verify who Mike was, and he said the Post had run 3 months of checks, not only on him, but on the information, and he said everything checked out. And I said, why didn't you go into this stuff about forcing the Jews of Judea and Samaria to the murder of their leaders? And he said, nobody, frankly, no one had the balls. That's what he told me. He says, no one was willing, to incriminate Israel in murder of Jews. I sat with Joel at his place. We always met at his place. Forget that minor point. And I said, let's run with it. I said, we have enough verification. I've got the files. Let's just print it. And, well, we printed an article called The Secret Clauses of Oslo, where we tried to wake up the people that this thing is really, really vicious. All right? I mean, vicious. And then the murders started. I won't go through them right now. The murders of Jewish leaders in Judea and Samaria started, and it was ultimately never ending. But the point of the matter is we had developed ties. We had developed ties with people who knew what was really going on in Israel. Yeshua Meiri told us. The Arab side and what the real deal with the Arabs was. Mike told us what Oslo really, really was, what was really, really signed. And, well, before we knew it, we really were journalists with a rational point of view, truthful point of view. Now, at this time, I'm not sure who knew Marvin Antleman first. I think it was, okay, maybe Joel introduced me to him, but Rabbi Marvin Antleman had previously written a book called To Eliminate the Opiate. Now, that book, you want to talk about difficult to understand. What he wrote was that a false messiah of the 17th century, his name was Sabtai Tzvi. He had convinced the majority of world Judaism that he and his perverted view of Judaism were the next, well, he was the messiah. why beat around the bush? And half of world Jewry backed it. Now this, what he claimed was that labor Zionists, the founders of Israel through crooked and murderous, let's just say, a very, very corrupt Jewish political party, which founded the state. He said they were Sabbateans. They came from a secret order. It began in Turkey. It spread to Europe through someone named Jacob Frank. In Europe, they were called the Frankists. In Turkey, they were called the Sabbateans. He said that is who is Zionism, labor Zionism. He said that is who's running us, and we got to get rid of them. Now, I'm summarizing a pretty long book, but, well, Rabbi Antleman phoned me, for years on end, weekly at least, if not more. And in the end, what happened was I affected his next book, To Eliminate the Opiate Too, and he certainly inspired my book, Sabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. What we had going for us was a core of journalists that may never repeat itself in Israel. I don't think the information can be had. But Joel, Rabbi Antleman, and I we're exchanging information every which way to put a stop to this atrocity that Israel has swallowed called Oslo 20 years ago. Now, I got to tell you, you know, I'm very discouraged. I want to be honest. I wrote, well, I never lied. Never. And I had lots and lots of exposure, but there was nothing to stop, well, the degradation of Israel. You have to remember Israel before Oslo. And it's a shock to me that before and after Oslo, there's a new generation, after 20 years, you've got a new generation who don't remember what Israel was. Israel was a proud, independent nation. The people were proud. A typical answer to any stress was, our army will take care of everything. After Oslo, the terrorism, well, it just became more than anyone. People no longer said our army could take care of anything, when clearly it wasn't. You've got a new generation, and in the streets of Tel Aviv, you've got the youth of Tel Aviv manipulated by outside forces. My kids are not me. They don't view, how do I put this? It's a new Israel since Oslo. What was previously Israel defended itself. The new youth of Israel, for some reason, are obsessed with defending Palestinians. No understanding why that's what happened after Oslo. Israel began the steady disintegration that will lead to the end of Israel. Look, I don't see a way around it. Since Oslo. Oh, I hear the music.
Well, I think that what you're saying is, Chris, that young people cannot think and think clearly, and yet, of course, this is...
They have no example!
I know. Oh, but basically, of course, the same thing is happening, I believe, in America. Basically, our youth don't understand our heritage, and the Israeli youth over there don't understand the Israeli heritage because of the degree of control that exists over what they think. Our only hope is that something is going to happen, and, well, that we're moving into a crisis period where people are going to have to believe in their government. If they do not, and they're not willing to fight for it, then Israel will fall, unless, of course, there is divine intervention. Well, we'll wait and see. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. Barry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right, then I'll just say, since Oslo...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.